I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry. And he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Sacrifice or offering you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocaust or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight. And your law is within my heart. These are some of the words from Psalm 40. And the book of Psalms is a kind of book that we don't often pay a whole lot of attention to when we hear it recited or sung during a Mass. Sometimes we just view it as a kind of filler to some empty space during the liturgy, and we don't really pay attention to the words. Well, perhaps we don't pay attention enough to them. The words of the Psalms are really helpful because they go to a lot of experiences that we have, and I want to focus on some of the words in this psalm I just read to you, because I feel it can really help us in our own life's journey, in our own personal life situations. So one of the things we see in this psalm is the psalmist, whom we believe was King David, we believe he wrote most of the psalms, or maybe others wrote some of the psalms too. But it says here, I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me, and he heard my cry. Now this notion of my cry, he heard my cry, the Lord heard my cry, means that the person who wrote the psalm was in a very difficult situation. They're in a situation that makes them filled with a kind of anguish. And what do? Is they turn to the Lord, they cry out to God. And that is a first lesson for us when we are in some kind of a personal crisis. You know, people can experience all kinds of personal crises. And it could be a personal crisis that only you know about. And it's a kind of crisis that makes you feel that things have fallen apart totally and you don't know what to do. Well, in this psalm, the sacred scripture tells us that we have to turn to God in prayer. We have to cry out to the Lord. What happens to us sometimes is when we enter some kind of a personal crisis, prayer goes out the window. It's kind of like we say, I don't have time to pray. I got to solve this crisis. I have to get rid of this crisis. And we don't turn to prayer. We don't turn to God. Well, the scripture tells us that we need to turn to prayer. We have to make an effort to turn to God. Because, you know, in your personal crisis, one of the things you need to remember is that God is still your Father. He's still all good, all loving, and all powerful. And he's much bigger than the crisis you're going through. And the scripture of this psalm calls us to recognize that truth and turn to God in prayer. And then we see another movement in this psalm. Is it says that right in the beginning here, I waited for the Lord. I waited for God. In other words, it's calling us to patiently wait for God to hear our prayer. Remember that God's divine providence is always at work. And even if you're in the middle of a personal crisis now, divine providence is working. And you have to trust in divine providence. You have to abandon yourself to divine providence. So we have these two movements of the heart that we can try to imitate when we are in some personal crisis. Number one, we have to pray. Prayer is very necessary. And number two, we have to wait. We have to wait for God to do something. We have to keep our spiritual eyes open to see where the hand of God is going to lead us and to lead the whole situation. If we don't pray, if we don't look for divine providence and wait for God's will to be done, then what happens is we just fight. And we just want to fight the crisis. We want to eliminate the crisis. We don't want to look for a solution. We just want to fight and fight and fight. And when you do that fighting, then you can actually do a lot of irrational things. In these days where we have text messaging abilities and emails and all that stuff and social media, in the midst of your fight of whatever your personal crisis is, you could start sending out some really bad messages to people. You could do things to people that are really hurtful, not because you want to hurt them, but because you're trying to fight your crisis, trying to get rid of your crisis. Well, prayer and looking for divine providence, trusting in God's providence, is a way to move differently in your personal crisis. Now, another movement we see in this psalm is it goes on to say that he put a new song into my mouth, the Lord does, a hymn to our God. In other words, there is a sense of joy at what God does, at God's will and his providence. Then it goes on to say that to do your will, O my God, is my delight. So in the midst of personal crises, there's a commitment to do the will of God. So think about these movements. First, you turn to God in prayer. And then you wait. You patiently wait for God to act. Now, I want to say that in your personal crisis, if you have one, or if you ever go into one in the future, it's okay to try to practically solve it. That's smart to do. But you have to do it with the right spirit. And that's the spirit of devotion to the mystery of God, prayer, and then waiting for God to act. And then a renewal of your commitment to live by the will of God. That is to say, to live the Ten Commandments, to turn away from sin. Some people, they don't like this idea of turning away from sin. You may have no sin in your life that has caused your personal crisis. It might be something else. But all of us can grow in living a life of holiness. And if we don't want to live this life of holiness, if we don't want to live by the commandments of the Lord, and yet we cry out to God, it doesn't make sense. It's like we're saying to the Lord, Lord, please solve my crisis, but I don't care to do your will. It's like we're trying to go north and south at the same time. You really can't do that. You might be able to do it for a little while, but it really doesn't work. You have to renew your commitment to do the will of God. I want to think about this practically in your own life. Mother Teresa had a prayer that she used to say. She would say it 9 times, and it was the Memorare prayer, the prayer to Our Lady. You can look it up. It's called the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. There, that's the prayer. But you can look it up so you can try to memorize it. And she would say this 9 times. But I also heard that we can have something called a spiritual 911, and I really recommend it. You know when you're in an emergency situation that involves a threat to people's well-being and their life? In some countries in the United States, we have 911. You call 911 and the police and the fire department and the rescue squad will show up very quickly. It's a very good service that we have. Well, here's a set of prayers that can be like a spiritual 911. You're in the middle of a crisis, a personal crisis that seems to have shattered your life into a million pieces. 9. Say the Memorare prayer 9 times. 1. Say the Rosary once. And then the other one is say the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. There's your spiritual 911. The Memorare prayer 9 times, the Rosary 1 time, and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy 1 time. And bring your crisis to those prayers. And you know, when you pray, when your prayer is really your biggest response to your crisis, you start to realize that God is working something. Prayer is powerful. We don't really know how God is going to answer our prayers, but he will. He'll hear our prayers, and in his time, which is always the best time, and in his way, which is always the best, he will answer our prayers. But when you pray, you start to have a sense of peace. You realize that as you go through your crisis, you're not alone, and you're not just aimlessly being pushed around by your crisis. You're allowing yourself to be moved by God's gracious will, by the will of our Heavenly Father who loves us. When we wait for God to answer our prayers, we wait to see how his providence is moving in our life and the lives of so many other people, we come to realize that there's a bigger purpose. And you know, it could be the case that the grace that God is going to give to you, that he is giving to you, is buried deep within the crisis you're going to. It could be right there. It's like the diamond that they find in the rock. They go through all the rock and they find that diamond. There could be a real grace from the Lord buried deep within the crisis you have itself. And you know, God can bring good out of even the most difficult of situations. When you pray, when you trust in God's providence, you develop this awareness that something good will come to you. It may not come in the way you want, but it will come. And that will give you a sense of peace, a sense that, you know what, as difficult as your personal crisis is, it's not that bad. Things will work out. You just have to commit yourself to live by God's grace and His will, and things will be well. And so think about this when you enter into whatever crisis you may enter, whether that crisis was made by you, by your own sins, or by your own mistakes, or whether it was made by others, by their negligence, by their misunderstanding, or even by their malice. Or maybe that crisis was manufactured simply by just the way life goes, and there's no blame to put anywhere. There's no sin, there's no any kind of conflict. It's just the way life went, the way things go. Whatever that crisis is, make this your plan of action. Number one, you will take time to pray. Prayer will be a priority of yours. You won't put it aside. It'll be your biggest response to your crisis. Number two, you will wait. You will patiently wait. You'll actually develop this idea that patience and waiting is an active response, that you'll wait to see how God works. You'll trust that He's going to work in a good way. And number three, renew your commitment to do the will of God. That might mean you need to repent of some sins. It might mean that you need to repent of sins that have nothing to do with your crisis. When we examine our lives honestly before God, we all come to realize that we can do better at being disciples of the Lord Jesus. And then, really, as you come to realize that God is good and He's still with you, you can find some sense of joy in the midst of your crisis. And who knows how God will solve your crisis? It may take a long time, but if we believe that He is our Father and He loves us, things will work out for the best for everyone. So brothers and sisters, as we come to whatever situation in our life that can be very difficult or even painful, let us try to imitate the lesson of this little psalm. And who knows, that following these ways may just help us have a peace that can never be taken away from us, and help us to understand that God's will is always good. God bless you.